Here we are at Felix's on the Lake. Welcome in to the Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick. The Saints win 28-14 today over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Bobby got off to a slow start, but that Taysom Hill block punt kind of turned things around. They kind of woke up a little bit.
Yeah,
a win's a win, but look, it looks like the Saints that we had seen in that previous 10-game winning streak.
Well, you have to look at how you finish a game. You get 25 unanswered points. That speaks for itself. So for all you trollers or haters, I don't know how to describe them, when all of a sudden they're tormenting the Saints at halftime, you have to look at the big picture. I mean, they got some miserable people in the world. that I don't know. You
go look on Twitter.
So wait, no, you live here, and you don't cheer for the Saints. Well, move the hell out of here. I mean, it's like they hate Drew Brees. They hate the Saints, and they just troll. They must have a miserable life. I don't know how to describe it. They just in general, if you talk to them one-on-one, they're losers. They're losers, and it makes themselves feel better if they drag the likes of Drew Brees down or the Saints down. And that's why, hey, it ain't over till it's over. You can hate all you want. The Saints back-to-back NFC South champs, that's not an opinion. That's a fact. So you can hate all you want. I mean, it's unbelievable when I see what we have here in New Orleans, and for not 100% for people to be on board.
I got a tweet at halftime when I said the Saints
in
the last six quarters.
Oh, yeah, a number of tweets.
Wait, in the last six quarters, I was like, hey, look, the Saints' offense has been awful. No other way to say it. And I get a tweet saying they should refund the Saints season ticket holders all their money. I'm like, that's an overreaction if you ever saw one.
My goodness. They have a number of people who
some fans get caught up in – they live in an emotional glass case. I mean, they're prisoners of the moment too often.
Or they say Drew Brees looks old overnight, put in Teddy Bridgewater. Okay, well, whatever. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's almost comical to the point. But with that being said – you look at New Orleans clinching the NFC South title in back-to-back season for the first time in franchise history. Again, that's not an opinion. That's a fact. One thing, the Saints have had their number, that being the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, now 33-21, the club's best winning percentage versus any NFL opponent that they faced. And more important, it's a division opponent. And then you look at Tampa. You know how it's tough to win on the road? What are we on the road now? You know how you want to go 500? We're 6-1 on the road right now. And so now you look at Tampa, we have a 15-9 overall record. So, Christian, that right there speaks for itself and what we're able to do as far as winning at Tampa Bay. It has not been a home field advantage.
They hadn't won there since
Buccaneers.
2015.
Yeah, it hadn't been an advantage overall when you look at Saints and Buccaneer history. And then another thing that's a real positive, scoring defense. Again, now it didn't happen against Dallas, but if we keep doing that, the Saints can't help but win. We're now 72-9 under Sean Payton. We hold opponents to 20 or fewer points. Think about that, 72 wins.
That's five
and nine
straight
losses.
Games they've done that. Back-to-back games, they shut out a team in the half. Hold your thoughts right real quick.
Okay.
We're going to pause 10 seconds for station identification here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here, Felix is on the lake for the Point After, 7400. Lakeshore Drive, Hootatin, and celebrating a 28-14 victory. How about this Saints defense, though, Bobby? Look, you can make the argument they're the reason the Saints were able to stay in this ballgame.
Well,
you held the number one offense to under 300 yards of total offense.
Yeah, that speaks for itself. And you look at Tampa Bay came into the game the number one third down offense. Number one third down offense. They were number four third down defense. Only giving up 33%, where we were 6-12, 50%, and they were 6-14, 43%. They were getting 50% conversion rate. So when you just look at that, that kind of speaks for itself. When you look at what Tampa Bay has done lately, what have you done for me lately, and the one thing, and when all said and done, it doesn't matter how you come about it, but the Saints end up having 30 rushing plays. And you look at it, Mark Ingram averaged 4 yards a carry, Alvin Kamara 4.3. So you say, look, I thought we'd run the ball a little better than look like that in the first half because the Buccaneers were giving up 5 yards a run coming into the game. But both Ingram and Kamara, 4 yards are better. Now, when you look at Michael Thomas, look, Christian, 11 catches, 98 yards. I think he kind of built upon what he did in that first game against Tampa Bay when he had a franchise record, 16 receptions, 180 yards and a touchdown. So Yeah, I'd say Michael Thomas is definitely a Buccaneer nightmare. Now, Michael Evans, not the game that he had against Lattimore, in the Superdome. When you look at all seven of his targets, he caught for 147 yards. Well, he was targeted six times, four receptions, 86 yards. He did average 21.5, but overall, he was not over that 100-yard mark. And when you look at Evans, he has topped 1,000 receiving yards for the fifth straight season. So I think that was a big feather in the defensive cap. But now you look at Cam Jordan and Sheldon Rankins. They combined for three sacks. Cam had two. Rankins had one. You look at quarterback hurries. They had six combined. They each had three. Tackles for a loss. Cam had two. Rankins had one. Pass defending. They both able to get their hands on the ball. So, to me, Cam Jordan, again, based on what he did last year, he's going to be All-Pro again. When you look at the complete defensive end, first, second, third down, then Sheldon Rankins is now a Pro Bowler. When you look at first-round draft pick, DeMario Davis continues to lead the team in tackles with eight. So, yeah, this is a defensive effort, but look at Taysom Hill, what he brings to the table.
Look at what Taysom Hill.
Kind of setting the tone and that block punt.
Look at what he's done this season, Bobby. He's completed a pass, run for a touchdown, caught a pass, returned kicks, recorded tackles, block punt.
So he's the ultimate utility player. He even got a bootleg T-shirt. It's a Swiss Army knife. Taysom Hill. That's what Taysom Hill is, and that's what's unbelievable. And then, Christian, when you go down and look at the numbers, here's Tampa Bay having the number one passing attack in the league. Now, when you think about that, that's not an opinion. Tampa Bay was averaging 344.5 yards passing. Today they only had 174. Now, I thought we'd have to be on the plus side in the turnover margin. Now, we're minus one, but that block punt, like you said, it's kind of even.
It doesn't count. It doesn't count statistically against the turnover takeaway giveaway ratio, but it is.
But
it counts as a stop on defense.
Yeah, so it ended up being, it wasn't a positive necessarily. We were a plus one, plus two, but it wasn't a negative. I think overall because of that punt block by Taysom Hill. You know what else was critical? And you don't think every position matters? You know, when you're talking about clutch, who was clutch? Carlos Santos. Listen, Tampa Bay Buccaneer fans, they might want to send him back to Tulane or to Brazil. He was 0-for-2. Think about the field goals made. Hit the goal post. He missed one. Well, what did Will Lutz do? He made his two field goals. So that's a six-point swing, and then you look at the momentum.
It could have been 20-3. That changes things.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. That's why Will Lutz. Santos dealing with injuries and all that. Remember, Tulane, he was outstanding with the Chiefs, and then all of a sudden he gets an opportunity with the Bucs, but not coming through. That's the difference. The NFL, when you're setting the tone and the momentum, like that 6 points in your favor or against, I think that was critical. And then another area, Christian, we always talk about penalties. Tampa Bay had 10 penalties. You know, you talk about 10 penalties, 100 yards, that's, I'm telling you, a touchdown. So we were more disciplined.
It was 10 for 84. So roughly, big. That's a lot.
That's points.
That's a drive.
That is points. So we said this was a flag-happy crew because they ended up throwing 16 flags on both teams.
What was my reaction when we found out it was Jerome Bogard? Look, they're constantly throwing. I've seen them. I've been down there. I've watched games that they've called, not just against the Saints, but they have a reputation.
Double digits plus.
Every time, every game, and always disorganized as well. You notice that today? The game seemed to drag on not just because of the amount of calls, but also the way that they officiated. They had to huddle and talk quite a bit. They've always been that way.
Yeah, they've always been that way, and I think that is critical. And a lot of times you can't stomp everybody. You know, we're averaging 37 points a game, and you get a little spoiled, and you don't realize, okay, what happened to the Saints for the last six offensive quarters? But you look how they found a way to get the momentum and to win in that second half. I think that's crucial and that's critical. And the Saints, we play for bigger and better things. But right now, the Saints are NFC South champions. The first time in franchise history. You talk about over 50 years, and it's never happened.
Bobby, tell me if you agree with this before we go to the break. I said it on the Toyota Locker Room show that basically that loss to Dallas, you want to play as quickly as possible. And I think that little mini bye, I think caused them to linger a little bit in this game because they were thinking about that game a little bit too long, perhaps.
I don't know. Tampa Bay won two games in a row.
I know.
They were right behind the Saints in sacks. So you look at third down defense. No, it's the NFL. I mean, you have to come to play. Now, I think I was driving here, Christian, you brought up the point. Boy, it's amazing to show you how tough it is. At one point in the beginning of the season, who we said was the toughest division in the NFL? NFC South. Falcons, choke. Carolina, choke. Carolina was 4-2, right?
6-2. They're 6-7 now.
Yeah. Lost 5 in a row. And then look where Atlanta is. And now Tampa Bay kind of came back. Now they're going back. But it's amazing. If somebody would have told me in August, before we even played Carolina, we already won the NFC South, I'd have said, no way. Because I thought, to be objective and build upon what we did last year, I said we're going to win 11 games. 12 games best. 12-4 is an outstanding season. Well, what are we right now?
11-2.
11.
Three to go.
So now you expect bigger and better things. So you say, go Bears tonight. We're still playing for that number one seed. So the road to Atlanta goes through the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. So hopefully the Bears is going to be cold. I don't know what's going to happen with the Rams. But I know right now we're still in a great position. If you got one or two seed, because you get a bye, and at least you get one home playoff game, is critical to try and get to the Super Bowl.
Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick here on The Point After, live at Felix's on the Lake. Jump in the conversation at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. This is the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to The Point After here, live at Felix's on the Lake, 7400 Lakeshore Drive, the Cajun Cannon. Bobby Hebert, I'm Christian Garrick. The Saints win in Tampa, 28-14, back-to-back NFC South champions. Hector and Metairie, what's going on, Hector? You're on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Hey, Bobby. Hey, Christian. Congratulations to the Saints, another division title. I'll tell you what, one of the things that I've been impressed and continue to be impressed, and I think is going to serve us well going well into the playoffs, we continue to dominate the fourth quarter. When it comes time when we need to step up on defense or on offense, we got that fourth quarter. There's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. I remember a couple years back, I always wanted the Saints to have that pass rush. It looks like we're getting it every week, and we're creating it with the front four. We don't have to do any special blitzing or anything like that like we used to do in the past. And on top of that, I agree with you, Bobby. You're always right about one thing. I never thought I can get used to it, but less of Drew is better. I love
right.
it. So I'm not complaining. I don't even know why you entertain the haters. Let them alone. Let them be in they're losers. Leave them alone.
I leave him alone, but just like I want to educate him. I want to bring him into the fold because I'm a nice person, and I want to try and convince losers that they can be winners if they just don't hate and just live in reality. Now, when you bring up the fourth quarter, and I think it's a great point. Do you know fourth quarter, the scoring leaders? Christian, this will bode well. We average in 10 points a game plus in the fourth quarter. Now, think about it. It doesn't matter. You don't know if you're a touchdown, but that's double-digit points in the fourth quarter to close out a game. If you look at it, Christian, what do we get in this fourth quarter? Help me out here.
1 second.
And see how many points we actually got in the fourth quarter, because I can tell you exactly where we're at, because I even count overtime. Because coming into the game, we had 124 points to 78. Now, when you think about, so we closed out the game, and that doesn't necessarily is always the case for every team. So whatever you got.
17 points in the fourth quarter.
17 points in the fourth quarter. So you add 17 plus 124, and it just shows you the domination of the Saints. Now, the one thing I was a little disappointed, because we've been able to go into halftime, and we've been even better in the fourth quarter, has been in the second quarter. In the second quarter, Chris, we were averaging 12-plus points a game. Now, that didn't occur. The Rams were second at 11 points. The Steelers were third, basically 10.9, 11.2. It was like Rams and the Steelers. So it's all playoff teams when you consider the second quarter we had outscored opponents 145 to 73. So, to me, that bodes well when you go second quarter – because you're going into halftime trying to have some momentum, not necessarily this game, but overall we've had that. And then how do you close out games in the fourth quarter? And the Saints were able to do that today.
Bobby,
and
I'm starting.
Especially 25 unanswered points.
Again, really looking at this defense, and everything is trending the right way. When you have 15 sacks in three games, it's an average of 5 per game. That's what they've had. The last three games, they've had 15 sacks. And on top of that, you look at the way that the Saints have played, you talk about in the fourth quarter, but also typically in games when you don't get points before the half and the other team does, they end up winning a game. But before, Sean Payton stresses it all the time. Points before the half are the end of the game, are the
yes.
most, they're the most important possessions of the game.
And if we continue to do this, getting after the opposing quarterback, disrupting the ebb and flow, Christian, we came in, I said this in the pregame, if you look at since week seven to now, I thought Tampa Bay was going to get after Drew a little more than they did. Jason Pierre-Paul had some stats in this game, but he did not get a sack. Now, he had eight total tackles, seven and assisted. He had one tackle for a loss, but no sacks. When he went against Teron Armstead week one, he didn't register. Yeah, he didn't even register a stat. So Jermaine Bushrod was trying to hang in there tough, but they had one sack, and we had four. Now, the reason why I bring that up, because since week seven, we had 25 sacks, which was number one in the NFL. So now we're at 29. Tampa Bay had one. They were at 25. They were number two. So what have you done for me lately? Both teams are getting after the opposing quarterback, but the Saints continue to do that, and not so much Tampa Bay versus Drew.
Four sacks today from the front four of the New Orleans Saints in a 28-14 victory. We'll step away and come back. The point after here live at Felix's on the Lake, 7400 Lakeshore Drive. It's the point after on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on the point after on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, Hollywood and Thibodeau. What's going on, Hollywood? You're on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, the point after.
Hello, Bobby. Hello, Christian. How y'all doing?
Hey, Hollywood, what you got?
Hey, I want to say who that, and I want to give a shout to the who that team because they won back-to-back divisions for the first time in Saints history. That's hard to do, especially in our division.
Hell, so yeah. No, you have to think, Hollywood, is the NFL.
Right,
I mean,
right.
It's not for long, and the Saints have been relevant overall on the Sean Payton and Drew Brees for a long
right.
time. When
right.
you think about, okay, look at Mike McCarthy, who just got fired by the Green Bay Packers. Watch how long it's going to be before he has or has an opportunity to coach again, kind of like Andy Reid. But, you know, all of a sudden, it played his course out, and he's no longer going to be with Green Bay. But he's going to get another opportunity. The point being, it's amazing how long Sean Payton and Drew Brees has lasted with the Saints. So we need to embrace that. We need to embrace that because it's a commitment, like the Raiders would say, a commitment to excellence. It's not a commitment to excellence on the West Coast with the Raiders. It's a commitment to excellence right here in the Big Easy, what Sean Payton and Drew Brees has done overall, and giving the fans hope that we're a winner. We're a winner, and we're in the thick of things, and you win back-to-back division titles.
Right.
Again, that's not an opinion. That's what actually occurred. And now, with sky's the limit, we want to win that second Super Bowl, but it just shows you how relevant the Saints are.
Hey, Bobby, what about that defense after the first series? They sure clamped down, huh? Put pressure on the quarterback.
Hollywood, let me tell you right now. That's why I'm optimistic more than anything is our defense, scoring defense, 20 points or less, we're never out of a game. And then you might say, well, we need to be more explosive offensive like we were in the middle part of the season. But when I look what has occurred and where are we at, I'm telling you right now, if our defense keeps playing like they're playing, we're going to the Super Bowl. We are going. Now, listen, you might say, like, what are you talking about? That's kind of far-fetched. You're looking way ahead. No, I look at scoring defense. Right now, the Saints overall are not losing. I'm even going to go beyond 20 points. I'm going to say 23 points or less, the Saints are going to win in the big picture. They're going to win in the big picture. That's why I'm so optimistic. And listen, now you might question where we're at offensively. Come on, the offense, you got to pull their weight. We didn't pull our weight for six quarters, so you get discouraged. But you got to think long-term, not short-term. You got to have a vision. How many fans truly have a vision? You got to look at the big picture. And I'm telling you, I am so encouraged. Think about where we're at right now compared to where we were after week one with our defense. You remember that game against Tampa Bay? It was 48-40. Come on, every time we got the ball, we scored, but we couldn't stop them.
It reminded you of the 2014 defense. I mean, that's how bad they were. They're awful.
Yes, after one game, but look how they've turned the corner. That's why if you're a Saints fan right now, you should be encouraged going forward. not based on what you want Drew Brees to do, how you want Sean Payton to call a game. I want Dennis Allen and the defense to kick ass. If they kick teams' butt, we have a chance. I'm telling you, that's going to be the key, because I know the offense, in a critical time, they're going to step up when it counts.
All right, that's it for our network affiliates down the line. Another 90 more minutes of The Point After here on the flagship station. Stick around. We're at Felix is on the Lake. Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick. This is The Point After here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Here we are here. Felix's on the Lake, 7400 Lakeshore Drive. Got a packed house here celebrating the Saints' 28-14 win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Saints are back-to-back NFC South champions. Back to the phones we go. T-Bone and Amy, what's going on, T-Bone? You're on WWL.
Hey, T-Bone, what you got? Don't tell me you're a hater, huh? What are you?
Is that if I didn't know any better, I think you's a regular jackass.
Okay, why am I a regular jackass? Come on, T-Bone, you got to bring some facts.
Because that's
too generic of a statement.
The defense won that game.
I did not say the defense did not win the game. Drew Brees is washed up in a national broadcast. They're still having the top five as far as MVP. So, T-Bone, no, you're an idiot. You have no clue what you're even talking about. T-Bone, you got to bring more than, like, you a regular jackass. What are you talking about? That's all you got to say. Bring some facts.
I've never had any positive interaction with anybody with a nickname of T-Bone.
No, ever. You can.
Anytime I've heard of somebody as a nickname of T-Bone,
yeah,
it's usually a good sign.
No, listen, you're in Louisiana.
There's not a lot going on. That elevator's stuck right here.
No, Christian, that's not true. You could be a T in Louisiana. That's like T-Bone.
I'm just saying interactions I've had.
Listen, no, you can have positive reaction, but T-Bone has not done his homework. It's just a generic statement.
His elevator doesn't go to the top.
Don't cut T-Bone off.
I'm not going to put him on. More passes than ever allowed. We should have lost that game.
Oh, shoulda, woulda, coulda. Yeah, but didn't. Okay, come on, T-Bone. You one of those haters who are not educated and hope the Saints don't win. Listen, T-Bone, you probably like the Steelers. Who are you a fan of? Are you a Steelers fan or what?
New England.
New England. What happened to New England? They choked. The Patriots choked against the Dolphins to close out the game. Why did they choke numerous games against the Dolphins? Now, I think the Patriots are relative, but what happened this game? Is it Tom Brady's fault that the defense choked? What is your take on that, T-Bone? T-Bone?
Well, I'm telling you, the defense won that game for the Saints today.
Why are you going to say the defense won the game, but yet you're going to say that Tampa Bay dropped the number of passes? So which one are you staying with? Either the defense won the game or Tampa Bay dropped the passes. Which one is it, T-Bone?
Both of them.
No. You can't sit on the fence here. It's got to be one or the other. Good night, T-Bone.
T-Bone, what are you going to do?
I'm done with T-Bone.
No, if the Saints will win the Super Bowl, I don't know if he couldn't handle it. He could not handle it. And he lives there in Emeet.
Right.
Listen, Emeet, he needs to go I don't know. He's too far from Texas. We can't ship him to Mississippi because that's who that nation. So maybe he needs to move to Texas and cheer for the Cowgirls.
Well, maybe he was born and raised up there and had to move down here for work. Who knows?
No, he's saying the Patriots. Why in the hell are you from Emeet and you cheering for the Patriots? He ain't never been to Boston in his life. He don't even know where Boston is. The T-Bone.
Does
he even know the Northeast?
Zane.
He don't even know. He didn't even know geography.
You're on the point after
T-Bone. T-Bone. T-Bone, my, you know what?
Okay. Go ahead, Zane.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, Zane, what you got?
Man, look, I live up here in cowboy country. We got T-Bone calling, talking trash about Drew Brees and our Saints. Man, I can't even begin to tell you how happy I am with this season, regardless of just a couple of bad games. Look, I grew up being teased for wearing Saints uniforms, jerseys,
right?
School, and here we are sitting 10. Come on, guys, 11-2. I mean, we're the team. Yeah, I mean, I don't understand where all the hate's coming from. I would have dreamed for this when I was 10 years old.
It's all.
Amen, amen. If you look at the Saints, they're so relevant that it's scary. And you look at Dallas, and I think Dallas has an outstanding defense, and they could be relevant going forward. But I can tell you this. Christian, I don't know if I told you this, or maybe I was talking to dudes during the week. If you look at, like, a series like NBA or Major League Baseball, if we played Dallas 7 games, I am convinced we would win at least 4. The Rams, and I'm telling you, I'm being objective, I'd have to flip a coin. It might go down 3-3, and who's going to win that 4th game? But Dallas, they might win 2. For instance, let me give you an example. Whoever you follow in the NBA and you say you're playing the Warriors, you might win a game now or then, but are you going to beat them 4 games? The NFL football is different. So come playoff time, okay, you can win the battle, but can you win the war? So that's where Dallas is at. Jerry Jones, all of a sudden he was saying, can we beat the Saints? This is our Super Bowl. Can we keep the momentum rolling? Think about this in 2009. Didn't Dallas beat the Saints? We were 13-0. Well, you remember that?
Yeah.
But what was the end result? Who was the world champs? Who was the world champs? The Saints. The Saints, Dallas still hasn't won anything since the mid-90s. So, okay, just slow your roll. So tell all your Cowgirl fans that, okay, I acknowledge what you accomplished, but you got to look at the big picture. You can't look short-term. So that's how you humble them, and they'll stay humbled until they achieve greatness.
The founding father of the Houdat Nation preaching to his congregation here at
Damn
Felix's
right.
on the lake, 7400 Lakeshore Drive. Real Heavy D, what's going on? Real Heavy D, you're on WWL.
Hey, Bobby and K-Dog, I just wanted to give a shout-out for the big win and Houdat, and wanted to remind everyone that you can't count out the home crowd from home, watching on TV, and the positive vibes that we can send over the airwaves.
Right.
My wife and I, at halftime, we prepared halftime speeches, and we gave them to our 3 dogs.
Oh wow!
And my
I like
wife
that.
Went first. We played nice coach and mean coach scenario. She played nice.
Now that's a lot of passion. I like that, Real Heavy D.
She was real sweet to him, and she said, "Can we turn this thing around?" And then when I got up there, I was mean to him, and I said, "Y'all suck. Y'all suck on offense, on defense, on special teams. This is unacceptable.
Yes.
And you're going to turn this around." And then I ended it with the big Bluto speech from Animal House. I said, "Let's go. Go, 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 go." So well, I'll leave it with y'all to discuss that one. Thank you.
Well, Real Heavy D, we glad that you're representing the Houdat Nation in Woodland,
Tennessee.
Yeah, we appreciate that because you got to look at the entire game. You can be discouraged, but it ain't over till it's over. You can be down and out, but again, how do you respond to adversity? When you think about the NFL and how hard it is, when you look at the competition, we scored 25 unanswered points. Do you know who was the number one offense in the NFL coming into this game?
The team the Saints just beat.
Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay had the number one offense. You know, it's amazing. They had 30 turnovers coming into the game. They were minus 18. I'm like, how the hell do they even won a game? It just shows you how talented they are. You would think they'd have maybe 1 win, 2 wins. They had 5 wins. They were still in the playoff hunt, so they were playing for something. But it just shows you the maturity of the Saints and how they responded. And it all started with a player. You know, it was a player who you'd won in the trenches. You know, it was the 100-year anniversary of World War I, Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill's a freaking warrior. How can you not embrace Taysom Hill? Think about Taysom Hill.
That's why I gave him the MVP. He changed the fortunes today on one play.
Hey, listen, Taysom Hill, I don't care if he's a Mormon or not, how you embrace that. If he married your daughter, you would think you hit the lottery. Talk about a good American, an outstanding individual. I know we're in Catholic country over here, but Taysom Hill, I'll feed Taysom Hill every meal. He'll never go hungry in New Orleans, considering what he means to the Houdat Nation. Taysom Hill is the man.
Jude, Brian, Hallelujah. Tony, Derek, Brian in Baton Rouge, and Jack and Slidell, stick around. Point After rolls on here on WWLAMFMN.com. Bobby, you talk about anomalies amongst the stat lines, et cetera. Welcome back to the Point After here live at Felix's on the Lake. But look at Drew Brees. Three rushing attempts, minus 1 yard, but he's credited with a touchdown and a long of 1 yard. Think about that. Now, that comes from the kneel downs being minus one. But if you looked at that, you would say that's a misprint.
Well, yeah, you might say it's a misprint, but who is the master of, like,
the quarterback sneak?
Yeah, but how do you describe it? Quarterback sneak
Leap.
To maybe to get a first down or a touchdown? Because how he'll present the ball. Let me tell you what Sean Payton, they tell the officials.
Uh-huh.
They tell the officials in advance that watch how Drew's going to present the football. Do you cross the line? And then he pulls it back. Now, he could even cross the line. They might knock it out. But you don't want him to say, oh, well, he fumbled and all that. But Drew, you could slow motion, and he'll go across the line, and he's still able. I don't know if Drew Brees has ever fumbled a quarterback sneak. And it's amazing the expertise. This goes back to what was the game the Dolphins were kicking
Miami,
out? But
2009.
Yeah, 2009. It all started in 2009.
That's when we first saw the play.
Now, think about that. That shows you the greatness of Drew Brees.
It's never been stopped either, Bobby.
No, it has never been stopped. Not Tom Brady. No one runs the quarterback sneak going forward like Drew Brees. To extend the ball, get a first down or a touchdown. And you would think if it's done over a half a dozen times, someone would figure it out. Because, you know, they know that play. But Drew Brees, a technician, how he presents it, now he understands what's occurring, and then to bring it back, so they got to give it a touchdown. It is unbelievable. They're showing the highlight of Taysom Hill in the block. And
the play we're talking about.
Right there. Drew Brees going over and then bring it back. So there's no discrepancy about, did he fumble? Did he get across the line? If you don't like it, look at the replay. But they make the officials aware of what we're doing.
If you pay attention to Sean Payton, I remember watching when I was on the sidelines.
Yes.
He runs down. He doesn't run down. He just casually walks down there, and he just tips him off. He says he's going
to
go up and over here.
Because, they have pregame meetings and all, what you're looking for.
You don't want to tell him then, though.
And that's one thing. He's looking, the ball crossed the line. He brought it back. Touchdown. End of story. The defense might be fired up, and they think they stopped it. No, it does not have end of story. That's one thing. It just shows you the perfection of Drew Brees and paying attention to detail. You know, a lot of times people don't realize how you pay attention to detail. All the difference in the world, whether you win or lose, as far as game in and game out.
Jerry and Drew calling, driving home from the game. What's going on, Jerry and Drew?
What's going on, Christian? What's up, Cajun Cannon?
Hey, Jerry, what you got?
Hey, man, look. We make a deal every year. We go to two out-of-town games.
Yep.
So we went to Dallas last week, and then we went to Tampa this week. So Dallas fans are the worst fans ever. I just want to put that on record.
Oh, wait. Okay, are you going to tell me Cowgirl fans are worse than the Eagles or the Bear fans?
Hey, man, let me tell you, I've been to Philadelphia and Chicago. I'm sorry, I can't curse. Hold on, my bad.
Don't curse.
Dallas were the worst. But look, we're driving home, and my buddy Drew's next to me, and he's got a bet. He says, you got your teeth knocked out in the game. I called BS. But he said, I'll bet you. So we called in. You ever had your teeth knocked out, Cajun Cannon, in the game?
Bobby?
Yeah, in 1989 versus Tampa Bay. Yeah, I had my teeth knocked out, but listen, this day and age, modern-day dentistry, you just get them fixed. Come on. Listen. Once your teeth are knocked out, what are you going to do? Now, it hurts. It's sensitive. But you just move on. I mean, you just got to – it's not like I'm going to cry over spilt milk. I mean, I'm just going to get new teeth. I mean, I don't know. I think my teeth look pretty good. Teeth. I mean, it's all fake, but
it looks pretty solid to me.
Yeah.
It was actually a little bit of an upgrade. Didn't you have a little gap in your teeth?
Oh, yeah, but that was the temporaries. That one's permanent. I had I looked like Michael Strahan. I had a little gap, but that was temporary. Then, you know, they put the real teeth in, so I'm all right.
Derek in LaPlace, thanks for the phone call, Jerry.
What are we talking about teeth?
I don't know, because they wanted to ask. They wanted to know if you got your teeth knocked out during the game. What's up, Derek?
Hey, man. You know.
Hey, Derek.
Watching the Saints and all, the way Sean Payton strategizes these games is simply, it's just remarkable. Watching other teams play, they kind of use. It's like they you can tell. The strategy, it's like almost the same strategy. But I don't know if we just got so many different players that, you know, Kamara wasn't used a lot today, but we still won. You know, it's just the strategy that Sean Payton uses is really good. And I just think when the Pittsburgh game comes up or something, I think that's when it'll open up again as far as us winning out. I think we'll win out. But
Okay. I got to slow your roll, Derek. Okay, the Steelers, I can tell you right now, I don't know, flip a coin. I don't know if we're going to win. How desperate are the Steelers in the situation they're in? How desperate we are?
How desperate next Monday night are the Panthers going to be?
Yeah, I don't know. See, Carolina, we're going to be hard-pressed. Listen, the Saints have to hope, because this gives you hope, that the Bears win tonight. Because then, if the Rams win tonight, okay, you're realistically chasing first place. But I'm saying when you're going against Carolina on the road on Monday night, Christian, I hope we'd split with Carolina. But now looking at the Steelers and where they're at. The Steelers are one of those teams. Talk about Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. The Steelers could beat anybody and they might lose to anybody.
Right.
They are so explosive or can lay an egg. The Steelers are a dysfunctional organization right now. Where they're at, they could be amongst the best or they could be in the middle of the pack. So I can tell you right now, I don't know what's going to happen. But the one thing I wanted to bring up, and Christian, if you look at where the Saints are at right now and Sean Payton, did you see how fired up Sean Payton was when all of a sudden you had that 17-yard touchdown run by Mark Ingram? So now it was 25-14, 17-yard touchdown run, tough run. We go 53 yards on 7 plays. Did you see Sean Payton, man, almost freaking hit?
You beat me up enough, all right?
Did you see how fired up Sean Payton was with Mark Ingram? That's what players embrace.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw that, I started getting goosebumps. I had a tear in my eye. I was like, man, this is what it's all about. This is what Sean Payton embracing Mark Ingram, what he's brought to the table. And
I don't know what Dominic's telling me. Anyway, you know what got it going, I think, for the Saints in a running game? When they started going north-south, they were trying to outflank them.
And it was like
the Bucs have the speed to handle that.
No, they have the speed. A lot of NFL teams, you cannot outflank your opponent. You got to go north and south. So,
all right, the point after continues. Live at Felix is on the lake. Come on out and hoot that with us. Celebrate the 28-14 victory over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Saints are NFC South champions for back-to-back seasons.
And Hoot That Nation, I want you to call and tell me if you got a little emotional when Sean Payton was like embracing Mark Ingram after that 17-yard touchdown run and how jacked he was, because that's winning football. Those kind of runs is what it takes to win a championship.
If you're on hold, sit tight. This is the point after here on Saints Radio, WWL. Welcome back here to the point after, live at Felix's on the lake, 7400 Lakeshore Drive. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870, text 870-870. Right back to the phones we go. But first, Bobby, if I had told you, Bobby, at season before the season started in August in the preseason that the Saints defense would hold opponents to under 20 points in 8 games this season, would you have believed it?
No, hell no. No. I, no, listen, I was like, I just want our defense to hang, to be middle of the pack. But the one thing I'm telling you, that's a big feather in their cap, scoring defense. 20 points or less, that's why, Christian, I'm very optimistic going forward. I look at the scoring defense. You want to be disruptive, take away the football. You want to get sacks and all that. But bend but don't break, whatever, however you describe it. But to me, I'm telling you, scoring defense. What do you give up? It doesn't matter if a kicker is missing kicks or points or what occurs. But Tampa Bay, again, I'll say, had the number one passing attack, and we held them to 174 yards. So to me, Christian, I mean.
Look at this, Bobby. So
I don't know how to describe it, but I know it's a good thing with Dennis Allen. Got to give him a lot of credit. Because it's not a defense with this day and age with the rule changes. It's like, okay, it's not like a dominating defense where we actually stopping teams from getting first downs. But that is critical that it doesn't matter what they're doing, but if you keep them out of the end zone or keep them from scoring points. I even take the approach that, okay, let's say Santos, he makes those field goals. That's a win for the defense.
Mm-hmm.
If you could force field goals,
especially after
or get takeaways, yes, exactly.
Bobby, I'm looking at it since week one, so that they held the Giants to 18, the Redskins to 19. Yeah, the Ravens got 23 on them. The Vikings got 20. That shootout with the Rams, they got 35. But since the Bengals game, that's five straight now that they've held an opponent to 20 points or fewer.
Well, that's why the Saints are 11-2.
You could even make that statement of 17 points or fewer.
That's why we're 11-2. Christian, when I look at how games are structured overall with the rule changes and all that, I think that's the number one thing where I'm optimistic going forward is the scoring defense. Bend but don't break, however you describe it, whether it's luck or a positive luck, mojo going in your favor where they're missing field goals or you're taking the football away, but can you keep the opponent out of the end zone? Because one thing we did not do is keep Tampa Bay out of the end zone in week one. Think about that. It was 48-40. Okay, was that the same song and dance when we were a 500 team? And I'm looking like 14-15. I'm looking way back when it was like, I don't know, we could score, but it's like in a track meet. We score, you score. We score, you score. And then it's like, you might win, you might not win. That was kind of like week one, what we've seen in the past, where it was 48-40. This type of game, I'm telling you, gives the Saints a lot of hope going forward in the Houdat Nation when you have the scoring defense holding opponents to 20 points or less.
The Houdat Nation stretches far and wide down to Tony down under in Australia. What's going on, Tony? You're on the Point After on WWL.
Christian,
go ahead,
Tony. Bobby. Who that,
Tony? Hey, Tony, so describe to the Houdat Nation here in Louisiana, what was the atmosphere in Australia, the time, the whole, where were you at with all your boys representing Houdat Nation down under? I want you to describe that.
Next week, there's a group of us meeting in the city because they didn't show the game on TV here. I had to put up with Red Zone because I can't listen to Seth and Deuce with the blackout, but never mind. Next week,
okay, Tony, next week, but you're watching in the Red Zone. Like, what time was it when you're actually witnessing what's occurring between the Saints and the Bucks? What time was it in Australia?
5 o'clock. 5 a.m.
5 a.m. Now, that is a freaking fan. 5 a.m., setting his alarm and watching what's happening with the Saints in Australia.
And not only that, he was up before that because he was talking to Seth and Steve for First Take. So that's 1 o'clock in the morning.
Listen, that just shows you the Houdat Nation is far and how far and beyond of what we – listen, Tony, I appreciate that.
It's global.
It's global. I mean, that is a great statement right there, the dedication with Tony and how he observed the game today against Tampa Bay.
Tony, thanks for the phone call. Thanks for representing the Houdat Nation down under. Jack in Slidell. What's going on, Jack? You're on the point after on WWL.
Semper Fi, Christian.
Hey, Jack, what you got?
I'm going to put you on hold, Jack. You got a bad connection, so let me put you on hold, Jack. Let's see. Jed in Mid-City. What's going on, Jed? You're on the point after on WWL.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Hey, Jed, what you got?
Who dat, baby?
Hey, who dat, Jed?
Shout out to my girl, Twig. Just want to say hi to her. And I wanted to say two questions, really. This game and last game in particular, I feel like we have switched to this, like, I know we're trying to do our run game and everything. Historically, we're a pass first, then run. And we were really trying to get the run game going. It wasn't working. Your thoughts on that? And also, with the upcoming game against Carolina, they picked up Travarius Cadet. I was just curious, when you actually pick up a player from another team, does that really do anything for information or anything like that?
No. Travarius Cadet. Travarius Cadet.
He's been on
like
three
ancient.
Other teams since leaving the Saints.
No.
And Bobby, you tell me, but I hear the players. I've asked the players. We've asked the players several times how much of an impact that is. You have to be current on, like, if you got cut yesterday by the Saints and then signed by the Panthers, then you might be able to provide a little insight.
You have to be within the month.
Yes.
You have to be within the month to have any kind of influence. Now, what was the
running game? He said, typically the Saints have been a pass-first offense, and now they're trying to establish the run.
Well, we need the Saints to be able to run. How you can keep a defense off balance, I think, is critical going forward. Now, Jed, I can tell you one thing, and I am concerned somewhat, is that our weapons. Now, Drew hit 9 different receivers. I'm looking at Michael Thomas, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yes, 9 different receivers had a chance to receive a pass. Now, Michael Thomas, like week 1, was targeted against Tampa Bay. He had 11 receptions, 98 yards, right on the 100 yards. Kamara, you expect that. Benjamin Watson, 3 for 3, 24 yards. You know what? Who else? Tre'Quan Smith. You got to freaking catch the ball.
Yep. On that flea flicker play?
Yes.
I didn't see it. I was driving.
Oh,
I was driving over here.
He got to catch the ball. That was right in his hands. Come on, Tre'Quan.
He heard footsteps.
You have to step up. So that somewhat is concerning. Brandon Marshall, how they going to utilize him down the road. But to me.
I think you may see him here soon.
Yeah.
They're struggling to get separation. Other than Mike Thomas, these guys are struggling to get open.
Well, going forward, I'm telling you, if we're truly going to do something, you have to have the contribution from the wide receiver core. Who are we talking to, Christian? Let me see right here. Jed.
We just had Jed on.
Okay, Jed. Let me say, the wide receiving core has to contribute at a high level, but I still think it's going to matter going forward whether we win or lose. The contribution Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara, as far as total yards from scrimmage. Not only as a running back, but what do you do as a receiver? Like Ingram had 1 catch, 1 target for 20 yards. Kamara had 6 targets, 5 catches, 36 yards. So I'm looking at like, okay, they're going to be involved in all aspects of the game plan.
Sure.
So whether you're running the football, the way this team is structured this season, whether you're running or passing the football, Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara going forward is going to be a big part of that. But I still think when all said and done, we got to have success attacking the defense, running the football. Now, what I mean by that, this is not acceptable. We only average 3.3 yards a carry. But this is acceptable. We had 30 attempts, but only 100 yards. Now, that being Mark Ingram, averaged 4 yards a carry, Kamara 4.3. Now, that's winning football. But when you add it all up, you got to average over 4 yards a carry, I think, is critical. And listen, as much as we need Drew Brees to have success as a quarterback in the passing game, we need Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara to kick butt. I'm not worried about Michael Thomas. I'm worried about the supporting receiving core with Michael Thomas, because that's when our offense is truly rolling. Now, listen, I'm still waiting. Listen, you know, it was not like Austin Carr. What the hell? I mean, think about this, Christian. Do we have a Lance Moore?
Nope.
Do we have a Willie Sneed?
No.
I mean,
look, in training camp, Bobby,
and the thing is, that's not good. That is not good. Traquan Smith, I mean, Brandon Marshall. I mean, right now, there's too much pressure to me on Michael Thomas. Keith Kirkwood, I mean, I don't know. He had two receptions for 21 yards. Right now, Tommy Lee Lewis, I don't know. They might make a play now and then. God, this is a year right now. I don't think we have the supporting cast with the receivers. I mean, listen, Michael Thomas is a better version of Colston. But when you look at, like, when you're trying to spread the wealth, which Drew does, 8, 9, 10, 11 different receivers, you don't see that.
You know what's missing?
So I'm a little discouraged about that.
You know what else is missing? That vertical threat.
Yes.
The vertical threat. The Devery Hendersons, the Robert Meachams, Ted Ginn Jr. being on injured reserve. Bobby, in training camp, we were talking about how this Saints receiving core might be the most talented the Saints have had on the roster. Now, Cam Meredith comes over from Chicago, doesn't work out, still banged up, not healthy, goes on injured reserve. Ted Ginn Jr. gets hurt.
Yep.
He goes on injured reserve. They bring in, they elevate Keith Kirkwood from the practice squad. So it's guys that are still, Traquan Smith's still learning this game, believe it or not. And looks, I just think that time on task, what does Drew always talk about? Time on task with receivers. I don't think he's had enough time with them.
Well, and I look at Traquan Smith. He's just so happy to be in the NFL. I mean, when he dropped that pass, they did that flea flicker thing. Come on, Traquan. You got to step up. Not just glad you're on the team. You need to step up and embrace the moment. I don't know if Traquan's ready to do that. Now, the one player I know, Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, they're ready to do that. Listen, Ben Watson, it is what it is. Ben Watson is going to be a serviceable tight end. We don't have Jimmy Graham. So we got to look at different areas. You know, we don't have, I'm telling you, we do not have a slot receiver.
No, you don't.
Austin Carr is like, he could be good at times, but come on, he can't hold Lance Moore or Willie Sneed's jock. Right now, I think we're missing that. I mean, I don't know who's that new slot receiver.
I agree. Look at the amount of targets. We're going to break here. Look at the amount of targets, though. How many times have we seen double-digit targets for Mike Thomas this year? A lot. Way too much. Believe it or not, you don't want to see – you want to see 8, 9 targets
for Mike Thomas. Damn, it's all about timing.
You don't want to see 13.
Damn. It's all about timing. We need that this damn slot receiver. I'm telling you, look at the big picture, how you exploit opposing defenses. You need those type of players. And, listen, we can't be good in every area. That's why we're going to expect more from Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram, and Michael Thomas. It is what it is. I mean, and then Drew's going to have to understand how you attack a defense and all that. But the one thing, there's no Devery Henderson, Robert Meachum. Meachum, when you think about it, Christian,
no Lance Moore.
Lance Moore, Willie Sneed. We don't have that right now.
Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick, the point after. Live at Felix's on the Lake, 7400 Lakeshore Drive. Got about 45 minutes left. Here's a come on out and hoot at and celebrate a 28-14 win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Saints are NFC South champions here on WWL. Live at Felix's on the Lake, the Saints win today 28-14 over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They are now 11-2 and win an NFC South champions back-to-back. Carolina Panthers lost today. The Bucs obviously lost, and so did the Falcons. And the NFC South, other than the Saints, they don't have a team above 500. Panthers at 6-7, Falcons at 4-9, and the Bucs, believe it or not, Tampa's not in the cellar. The Bucs come in now at 5-8. They were 5-7 winners of two straight before today. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. I'm going to hear from Saints quarterback Drew Brees after the game. He spoke with the media. Here it is. That was Saints quarterback Drew Brees following the Saints win 28-14 over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Bobby, something that's going to go unnoticed in this game, but we're not going to allow that, is Saints punter Thomas Morstead. He's such a weapon. He's not often used because of how prolific the Saints offense has been this year. But there was one point in the game where, again, we talked about how well the defense did, but what helped the defense today? flipping the field from Thomas Morstead, uncorking a 60-yarder that changed field position.
Well, Christian, before I get to that, look, when Drew Brees says that when you went on the road and you're in the locker room and you get on the plane and you're hanging out on the plane amongst teammates, people don't realize how significant that is, because it's a fraternity amongst your brothers and you're winning on the road. You know, if you can be 500 on the road, you think you're a success. Christian, what are we?
6-1 now.
What?
6-1 on the road.
Christian. 6-1 on the road. I like the same chances year in and year out to be in the thick of things in the hunt every year if you're 6-1 on the road. So can you take care of the home field? But that is dominant football when you look at the National Football League. Now, when you brought up Morstead, Christian, who has a better, I don't know, maybe you can educate me, who has a better 1-2 punch than the Saints and Will Lutz and Thomas Morstead?
They're both Pro Bowls, maybe even all pros.
Well,
I know Will Lutz right now is kicking at a, not just a Pro Bowl level,
yeah,
at an all-pro level.
And the thing is, you know, we can only take one kicker or one punter, how that breaks down. But I know when you look at 32 teams, as long as you can be in the top five, if you have a top five kicker, a top five punter, then you're not a liability. You're an asset.
How many block punts do the Saints have this year, too? That's another thing that has to be pointed out.
Two.
They've got two this year.
With Okafor.
Okafor and today Taysom Hill.
Yes.
And that's Mike Westhoff influence right there. That is a Mike Westhoff influence.
Mike Westhoff, we need to shoot him up with adrenaline to keep him going. Because he's been a big impact on what we're doing on special teams. His claim to fame, he told me, Bobby, I remember this, in training camp. Listen, don't let anybody fool you. I found Taysom Hill. Listen, I'm not talking about a quarterback or what he does. I'm talking about as a special teamer, what he does in all phases of that. And so, Christian, I'm going to give him credit on that because he says – I went to bat for Taysom Hill from day one. But when you look at Will Lutz, okay, when a game unfolds, who makes the kick, who misses it? Will Lutz makes the field goal. Carlos Santos misses. That's 6 points right there. Look at Thomas Morstead. He averages 52 yards a punt. Look at Anger, 45 yards.
Seven yards is a big difference in the NFL. I know it seems when you're talking about 45 to 52, that you're talking about 7 yards.
When you're trying to make a
big difference in the drive.
Okay, when you're trying to flip the field, when you look at what Humphreys and what he's doing, returning punts, or Tommy Lee Lewis, listen, we want Tommy Lee Lewis to take it to the house, right? But, Christian, I thought – okay, he didn't really get his job done, but I looked at this. He still averaged 14 and a half
on
yards.
On one return.
I want to get to that in a minute. If we average double digits punt return, that's one less first down you got to get, and we're getting the job done.
I know,
as a
but I want to get to that. I want to pick your brain about Tommy Lewis and the punt return game in general. After we come back, we'll also get a NFL scoreboard from Mark Menard. This is the Point After here on Saints Radio, WWL.
It was a tale of two halves for the Saints today, whose offense seemed to be stuck in neutral for the first two quarters in Tampa, but revved to life after intermission. The Saints spotted the Bucs a 14-3 lead before reeling off 25 unanswered points. Michael Thomas finishes just 2 yards shy of the century mark on 11 catches. Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara combined for 103 yards on the ground. Ingram also finds the end zone and ties Deuce McAllister for the most rushing touchdowns in franchise history with 49 all time. In the end, the Saints win 28-14, to push their record to 11-2, they can also call themselves repeat division champions for the first time in Saints history. Of course, it also means their playoff tickets are punched. Jay joined the Rams as the only two definite entrants into the NFC postseason. Tampa falls to 5-8. The Cleveland Browns won't be a playoff team in 2018, but they've certainly made strides from the doormat they've been the last few seasons, and they showed it again today against reeling Carolina. The Panthers head into Carolina and head out with The Panthers head into Cleveland and head out with their losing streak now at 5 games. Browns rookie Baker Mayfield outdueled Cam Newton for a 26-20 win to help the Browns to 5-7-1 on the season. A winning record is still on the table for Cleveland with 3 weeks to go. As for Carolina, they've plummeted from 6-2 NFC standouts to below 500 at 6-7. The word was sent out in Green Bay this week. The Packers were put on notice that everyone is expendable when 13-year coach Mike McCarthy was relieved of his duties. It served to light a fire, at least for this week, as the Pack exploded on offense against visiting Atlanta. Aaron Rodgers throws a pair of touchdowns, Aaron Jones runs one in, and the defense even victimizes Matt Ryan for a pick six as Green Bay grounds the Falcons 34-20. The Packers move to 5-7-1 as Atlanta falls to 4-9. A Ravens win would have locked 4 teams out of the AFC wildcard race, but beating the conference-leading Chiefs was always going to prove to be a tall task. Baltimore didn't back down. They went on the road and took KC to overtime, but in the end, the Chiefs survived 27-24 thanks to a 35-yard Harrison Butker field goal in the extra period. Patrick Mahomes throws for 377 yards on 35 of 53 passing. He also tosses 2 scores and 1 pick. The Chiefs move to 11-2 and clinch a playoff spot in the AFC, but not the division title in the West just yet. Baltimore falls to 7-6 and opens the door for a slew of AFC playoff hopefuls to breathe new life. Tom Brady has had his difficulties adjusting to the South Beach heat once he gets acclimated to the Boston cold, but he looked like he might find his way past his warm weather demons today with his Patriots nursing a 5-point lead in Miami. But the Dolphins had one more play. Our thanks to the WQAM Dolphins Radio Network for that fine piece of broadcasting. That play ends up scored as a very nice 69-yard touchdown pass from Ryan Tannehill to Kenyon Drake, and the Finns shocked the Pats on the final play of the game, 34-33, to run their record to 7-6 and reassert themselves in the AFC wildcard mix. The Patriots will have to wait at least one more week to clinch the AFC East. They still hold a 2-game lead over Miami in the division. The Texans can kiss their 9-game winning streak goodbye. They had no answer today for the Colts. T.Y. Hilton. Hilton caught 9 balls from Andrew Luck for 199 yards to help the Colts to a 24-21 win on the road that keeps them alive, not just for a playoff spot, but for the division crown. An unthinkable prospect when they were 1-5. Indy has now won 6 of their last 7 to climb to 7-6 on the season. Houston slips to 9-4, but still leads the AFC South by 2 games. You can probably go ahead and write Washington out of the playoff picture. They get run out of their own stadium by the Giants. Saquon Barkley runs for 170 yards, including a 78-yard touchdown run, and the G-men put up 40 points. Washington benches Mark Sanchez today in favor of Josh Johnson once the game gets completely out of hand. 40-16 is your final as the Giants improve to 5-8. Washington falls below 500 at 6-7. And the Jets come from behind, erasing an 11-point deficit to win the battle of AFC East also-rans. Former Raging Cajun standout Elijah McGuire provides the game-winning touchdown as the Jets beat the Bills 27-23. Both teams are now at 4-9. 5 games ongoing in the late slate, led by the L.A. Chargers, who lead 23-15 over the Cincinnati Bengals, 5:45 to play in that game. The Niners lead the Broncos 20-7, 11:57 to play in San Fran. The Dallas Cowboys are up on the Philadelphia Eagles 9-6 in Dallas, 12:19 to play in that game. Fourth quarter about to get underway in Oakland, where the Raiders trail the Steelers 14-10, and the Detroit Lions lead 10-0 over the Arizona Cardinals in the desert, 14:34 to play in that game. I'm Mark Menard with your Miller Lite scoreboard. Of course, one more game on tap for tonight, the LA Rams on the road against the Chicago Bears. Back now for more Bobby Hebert and Christian Garrick with the point after on WWL.
All right, great job as always, Mark Menard. We're live at Felix's on the Lake, 7400 Lakeshore Drive, celebrating a 28-14 Saints win to clinch the NFC South back-to-back 2 straight years. Saints are NFC South champions. Bobby, we have a tradition here at Felix's, and we started a couple weeks ago. We got the mic set up. You ready to lead Felix's in a Who Dat chant?
Well, if they're ready to respond.
All right. Are you guys going to respond? Bobby's going to lead you guys in the Who Dat chant.
Okay, y'all ready to respond, Who Dat Nation? Okay, step up.
So,
and,
yeah, take your headsets off. We got a wireless mic, right, or a wired mic right here. So take that, stand up, and
okay, you want to go right here?
Yeah, stand up and get this place going. We want to rattle the walls in here. We want to rattle the walls.
We're going to do a little Who Dat chant.
This like
is
they do
like
in the dome.
You're in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome right here. Okay, I'm going to bring it down. I'm bring the hammer down, and y'all got to respond. You remember? Okay, ready? Who that? Who that? Who that say gonna beat them Saints? Who that? Who that say gonna beat them Saints? Woo! Listen, nobody. Right now, the Saints are so relevant, it is crazy. Listen, NFC South champions, listen, the sky's the limit. When you have Drew Brees at the helm and Sean Payton, I'm telling you, a lot of hope with the Who Dat Nation. Y'all got to embrace it. Don't be a hater. If you're a hater out there, talk to your wife, or your wife talk to your husband. You got to realize you're witnessing greatness. Come on, Louis. I'm looking at my old buddy from college, Louis Cortino. You got to embrace the Saints, because I'm telling you, we're witnessing greatness. Now, listen, I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but I'm looking forward to it. Listen, Carolina, the playoffs. The bottom line is, can you get to the Super Bowl in Atlanta? Now, think about this.
I let the Stallion out of the barn.
If we could go to the Super Bowl in Atlanta, think about this. We go to the Super Bowl in Atlanta, and if the Saints win the Super Bowl in Atlanta, that counts 2-for-1. Hey, that is not one Super Bowl win. That is like two wins, because I'm telling you, the Dirty Birds, listen, think about Arthur Blank. You might see him on ESPN. He's celebrating a damn soccer championship. Atlanta is so desperate. They worried about their soccer team winning. That's all good. This is America.
Soccer.
What do we love? American football. Not soccer. Listen, I'm international. I love soccer. But there's nothing better than American football. Who dat?
Who dat, Bobby? The Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, the founding father of the Who Dat Nation. Might have made a mistake there, giving him a microphone and allowing him to preach to his congregation. But nonetheless, it was certainly well worth it. By the way, you want to greet the team when they come back from a victory in an NFC South clinching victory over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They should be back around 7 o'clock tonight over at MSY. Back to the phones we go. Ralph in New Iberia. What's going on, Ralph? You're on WWL.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. First of all, I just wanted to mention about Tommy Lee Lewis. I mean, I can't really see the reason why he's taking up a roster spot. The one
I said the same thing today watching the game with Bobby.
Yeah, he had one return today, a big return, 15 yards. It was a 62-yard punt with nobody around, you know. So,
right.
You know, why wouldn't Brandon Marshall be active instead of Tommy Lee Lewis or some other, you know, offensive weapon? I have no idea, but I don't like that move at all.
Well, I can tell you why what they're thinking, okay? Taysom Hill had been returning kicks. Well, that changed today. Why? Because Alvin Kamara is a little bit more explosive than Taysom Hill, and they don't want him doing both, returning punts and kicks, and Taysom Hill can't return punts.
Well, if you remember last year, set a Saints record against Tampa Bay. Alvin Kamara had 106-yard kick return. So I can understand that. But, like, punt return, I mean, today would be the day that you should have had a lot of skins on the wall, considering that you should have been a Pro Bowl punt returner, definitely averaging double digits, not just one return, but maybe two or three.
Ralph, I'm with you. I mean, I didn't have Tommy Lee Lewis on my projected roster coming out of training camp, the final cuts. I didn't see where – but look, the guys went down injury-wise, and they're trying to – there was one instance where it was a short punt. He waved everybody off. But the punt returners that are consistently in the
don't
Pro Bowl,
let it hit the ground.
They don't. They run up and field that ball.
Listen, they had one punt that I'm telling you could ricochet and hit your own player around midfield. You got to come up and don't let it. Listen, you might not have every return. Now, if you have space, you got to return the ball. I mean, if you look at Pac-Man Jones, I'm looking at Clarence Vernon. I'm talking about old school Mel Gray. Whoever it might be, Devin Hester. When you return, you got to be aggressive, and the coach has to trust you. So when you're a returner, you got to have that mindset. But to me, when you don't even fair catch a ball that's around midfield and let it bounce, come on, you got to be able to judge the aerial kick and the pursuit of the ball, and you got to come up and at least fair catch it and don't let it hit the ground. Now, Tommy Lee Lewis, Listen, I'm not hating, but if you look at, he had two returns, 14 and a half yards, when he had that long gain of seven, but he could have had a special game against that Tampa Bay punter today, I thought.
Thanks for the phone call, Ralph. Charlie in Slidell, what's going on, Charlie? You're on the Point After on WWL.
Hey, Bobby Christian, how y'all doing?
Doing
hey,
well.
Charlie, what you got?
I just got two words for you. Taysom Hill.
Yep.
He turned the game around.
Sure did.
He just switched that momentum within 5 seconds.
Yes. When you look at that block, that block punt, without a doubt, Taysom Hill, did you notice, you probably noticed this at the end of the game, Charlie, was that, did you see Drew Brees and Taysom Hill embrace?
Oh, yeah.
They were dapping, I don't know, headbutting, whatever, like hugging one another because, you know what?
He's infectious.
Taysom Hill is a football player. Listen, you're playing football. Who's against football players? I mean, you might, what do you bring to the table? Not necessarily one-dimensional Taysom Hill, Swiss Army knife, however you describe it, a utility player. No, he's the kind of player you need to help you win a championship. And Sean Payton, I know, realizes that.
Charlie, thanks for the phone call. Big Bad in Barksville. What's going on, Big Bad? You're on the Point After on WWL.
Yeah, actually, he missed it. It's Big Bad Brad, but thanks for taking my call. Just a
Big
couple
Bad
of things.
Big Brad, thanks for the call, man.
Bobby, you could be a preacher, man. heading out to Hootah Chan, you ought to start you out of church.
Yeah,
and
the
anyway,
Nation,
congratulations to the Saints for being NFC South champs. And I got a new name for the defense, Bobby.
What's
when
that?
You come across that front line, you know how Seattle used to have the Legion of Doom. We're the Legion of Boom.
Well, they were the Legion of Boom, not Doom.
Legion of Doom, I mean. Legion of Doom is our name.
Legion of Doom?
Legion of Doom.
All right.
Well, yeah, I mean, we had the Dawn Patrol. Then we got to wait and see if he accomplished great things because I tell you what, the way the defense is trending considering week one, now if you're truly objective and you think about what occurred the first game against Tampa Bay, you're thinking like, man, our defense freaking sucks. I mean, we give up 48 points, and then you look what they've done as of late. Oh, my God, the defense is unbelievable.
Look, that's another thing. That's why you had a chance to come back and win this game today.
Yes, without a doubt.
Because of defense. All right, we'll step away and come back and wrap this thing up. If you're on hold, we're going to try to squeeze you in. Live at Felix's on the Lake, 7400 Lakeshore Drive, our home every Sunday or Monday, our Saints game day following the game here on WWL. Before we push out of here, I want to thank Dominic Mitchum, our on-site engineer. Also, Mark Menard back at Master Control. The Hootah Nation, certainly, for coming out to Felix's on the Lake. Felix's fine staff. And our executive producer and program director, Diane Newman. And Bobby, now next Monday, the Saints take on the Carolina Panthers, an opportunity still in front of them to win that number one seed in the NFC.
Yeah, look, if you're a Saints fan, you're going to watch the Bears and the Rams tonight to see what's going to occur. But when you look at the Saints are made for prime time. They're on Monday Night Football next Monday against the Carolina Panthers. Listen, the bottom line is the Saints are amongst the best, and you got to embrace it. Don't hate. Don't hate, embrace the Saints because we are that relative.
All right, we're going to push out of here. And once again, we'll be back on the air tomorrow, or Monday, next Monday, a week from tomorrow, at 5 p.m. for the Bud Light countdown to kickoff.
We could do the pregame here, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, we do the pregame here at Felix before Monday Night Football. So come out of here before Carolina, and we're going to break down the game and take care of the Carolina Panthers who are reeling. They are really, think about this. What, they've lost five in a row, Chris?
Five straight.
Five straight.
We got to get out of here, Bobby.
We're going to make them lose six straight.
All right, next Monday night, 5 o'clock, Bud Light countdown to kickoff. I'm Christian Garrick, Semper Fi. I'm out, Bobby. Do your thing, man.
Bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Hootah!